Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, first review for the midterm exam. I will go through the quizzes with you today and give you the heads up on what to expect from those quizzes on the exam, how to get the problems done, and also a few other pieces of information about the midterm exam. And then on Monday, the full-blown review for the midterm exam, which is on Wednesday. And as part of the review, looking at stocks right now, and then I'll look at one screen and tell you what your expectations should be on the exam as far as being able to read these screens. But to start off, you can clearly see that this is a bull day. And it's following kind of a typical pattern. Here, the Dow is up the most. The Standard & Poor's 500 at more than 2%. The S&P 500 is up 1.75%, and then the NASDAQ is up 1%. So whatever the good news is, it's clearly more good news the bigger the company that we're talking about. And this is largely the result of a general consensus that we are essentially going to write off Ukraine. We're not going to get into a fight with Putin. We're just giving that little dictator another country for him to eat, and we're not going to go in there and get our hands dirty. We're going to put economic sanctions on Russia, which it will be able to get around very easily, and so we'll all feel good about ourselves and we can go on with our me time and our lives while quite a few million people suffer under the tender hands of the new Soviet Union. So good news for now. Crude, what has been down quite a bit, on a don't expect that to last. There is no question that the global supply of oil has been contracted by the cutoff of pipelines and supplies of hydrocarbon products from Russia and its allies. So there's no question about it that the price of oil is going to find $100 a barrel again. It already found it late yesterday and early today. Brent sweet crude popped above 100. Now that it has had that taste of $100 a barrel, it's going to find it again, guarantee you. Easily by April, maybe by the end of spring break, we'll be in that territory again. That'll be $4.50 a gallon gasoline, and so we'll all be bitching about that. Gold and silver down, and here the 10-year bond is, the yield is up 2 basis points, which means the price is down. So what you're clearly seeing here is money leaving the safety of bonds, leaving the super safety of metals, and going into equities. In other words, it's the opposite of a flight to quality. It's a flight back to risk. Everyone's feeling good. We're going to take our money out of the safer instruments and move them into the riskier instruments because the good times are rolling. There's no question we have a problem with inflation, but there's also clear evidence that the economy is growing at a very hot, fast pace, which it will do in an inflationary environment. So the economy is growing. We're getting out from under the pandemic, although we'll probably have a surge when all you guys come back from spring break. But other than that, the economy is rolling, so there is optimism. The market is bullish right now. Good news. So all of that, taking that into account, we can look at is specific individual stocks and talk about what I would expect you to be able to tell me if I show you a picture of a screen for a given stock. Does anyone have a stock you want to have me pull up for this example? Have you got one? Yes. No one's got anything? Okay. Let's try this. Build-A-Bear. So up 4.5% today. Wow. Boy, I would like to have bought some of that. Okay, classic. Now, this one has some issues involved. If you had 100 shares of Build-A-Bear and you wanted to sell them, not counting any commissions or fees or anything like that, what would you get if you sold 100 shares of Build-A-Bear right now? You got nothing?
Didn't you get it for
20.50 per share? Nope, you get it at 20.44. You sell at the bid. Write that down. For God's sake, I'm going to ask this. I will ask this from the screen. You will sell at the bid. You will get $2,044. Now, if you want to buy them, you will have to pay $2,050 for them. So in other words, whenever you buy shares, you're already in the hole, because if you sell them immediately, aside from getting a Reg T hit, you're going to sell them at the lower price, the bid price. You buy them at the ask. I will ask you on an exam. I will show you a screen. I'll say, what would you get if you sold them, if you sold 100 shares? And you just type into the little box the number in dollars. That's all you do. Or what if you bought them? You type into the box that number. Okay? So make sure that you get it, because that one, you have to get it dead on. There's no range in there. You either give it to me right or you're wrong. Okay, now, as far as this stock goes, starting this out. Madam, talk to me. Tell me, is this stock near its 52-week high or its 52-week low right now, this stock right here, BBW? Yeah, you're being awfully tentative. You gotta sound like you know it, whether you do or not. 52-week high, yeah, that's what it is. Yes, it is, because it has gone over the 52 weeks from 644 to 2350. So clearly it is closer to its high than its low. Now, it's probably going to try to test that 52-week high somewhere along the way here. We don't know that, but it looks like it's trying to find its way back up to that where it was at its top within the last year. But yeah, it looks like it's doing pretty well right now, trying to climb there. Now, as far as volume goes, we're almost finished with a day, and so the volume is a little weak here on it, so that kind of worries me a little bit. Now, as far as the risk goes of this, this is a split personality. If you were looking at beta, what would you say? Is this a risky or a not risky stock?
This is pretty risky.
Oh, very risky. I mean, that's near two. That's yee-haw risky. That's that hold my beer risk kind of thing. Or the famous last words of almost anyone in West Virginia, watch this. Okay. And I speak from coming from the Cumberland Gap, so I know that from personal experience. Yeah, Uncle, that was a good thing you did. Uncle, are you still alive? Oh, God. Okay, now, if you look at the P.E. ratio, though, it's below 30. So that's telling us that this is a relatively safe investment. So which one would you, I guarantee you on the exam, it'll be one where they're both saying the same thing. But in a case like this, the old rule is always look at beta. But in this one, this one's got me curious, because at a P.E. ratio of 9.61, $9.61, that's telling me that that price could go up, wants to go up. I mean, if the price to earnings ratio is 9.61, and we figure it probably should be much higher than that if it's matching the beta, you would figure the price has got to go up a lot to get it in line with the beta. So I would say that if you are a speculative investor, if you want to throw money at something and maybe lose your shirt, but possibly earn a lot of money, then this would be a hella good thing to buy. Now, if you want to look over here, and I'm telling you what I'm going to ask you on a test with a stock. These are the questions that I would ask. According to the prediction of Yahoo Finance, what would be your capital gain? First of all, notice that there is no dividend. So the dividend policy of this company is no dividend. If I ask you what is its dividend policy and I give you the option to say, well, it doesn't have a dividend policy, that's not correct. It has a very clear dividend policy. It doesn't pay a dividend. So all you're going to do, the only way you make money is if the stock price goes up here. So if we were to run a calculation of what this prediction is saying you will earn as the capital gain in 1 year on this stock, then I would say, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take the price in 1 year, $33 per share, and divide that by what you would buy it for right now at approximately $20.50 minus one, and then you times that by 100 to get it as a percent, a 60.98% capital gain. That is hella good. I mean, even if it were half of that, that's still an insanely good capital gain on this stock. But the prediction here is that you're going to get a capital gain of nearly 61%. Yes, I will ask this on the exam. The screen will have the information. You just need to know how to put it in the calculator, and you'll get your answer, and you'll be fine. You can move on to something else. So these are the kinds of questions that I would be putting to you on the exam as far as the screen goes. I won't go back over this on Monday because I've told you now. I'm going to ask you this. And I'm telegraphing my punch for maybe four or five questions on the exam right here. I won't do Build-A-Bear. I'll find one that has, these two are not consistent. The beta and the PE ratio are not saying the same thing. Look at another one. I'll look at another small cap stock. Here's one called Wrap. Wrap is a company that builds a non-lethal law enforcement tool. It fires a giant net at a fleeing suspect and wraps the guy up into a ball, and then he's writhing around on the ground trying to figure out what just happened. It's being purchased by law enforcement agencies around the world, not in the United States. I don't believe they've sold any in the United States, but it's a very cool technology. Let's see how the stock is doing. Down a little bit today. Clearly, this beta is terribly high, and this company is not profitable. See the EPS? It is not profitable. If the EPS is negative, that means that net income times divided by number of shares outstanding is a negative number, which means that net income is a negative number. So you look at the EPS to tell whether a company is profitable or not profitable. It doesn't pay a dividend, so it's risky as hell. All you get is what you get from the stock price going up. So let's see what Yahoo is predicting that this stock price will be $6.38 exactly 1 year. So we say, okay, let's buy it. Let's $6.38 in 1 year divided by what you're going to pay for it right now, $2.24. Minus 1 times 100 to get it as a percentage. 184.82% capital gain. I mean, that's an insane capital gain. That's just ludicrous. I mean, you put a grand into that and you're going to come out with almost $3,000 out of the deal. That's just wow. Does that mean that's going to happen? No. Nothing is guaranteed in stock markets. It's a casino, for heaven's sakes. This is a casino with very high possible outcome. This company is. Build-A-Bear is the same way. Not as much as this one is. This one's at a disadvantage because they're still losing money. That's a little problem. That's a concern, obviously. They don't pay a dividend, so you're not going to get a dividend check. Yeah, go ahead. I do. On one like this, I'll make a range so that you should say, well, technically, fat boy, shouldn't you be using $2.27 because that's what you buy it at? Point taken. What I'll do is for a question like this, I'll give a range so that you can either use the price that you see up here, $2.24, or you can use the correct one, which is the ask price. But it's a point taken well. I will make a range so that either one would get you the right answer. And you'll see that when I show you the quizzes, how I set up ranges that would be acceptable to VeggieNet. ReggieNet, not Veggie. God. Notice something interesting here. Do you see how the volume on this one is way below its 52-week? That actually is the kind of thing that I say, no one's noticing this right now. No one's seeing this. That means that this is one of those where the heavies haven't stepped into play. Of course, if they come in, they're going to buy that up, and it's going to drive the price through the roof, and then the capital gain will be gone. But right now, it's just sitting there like, this is like small-time investors. This kind of level, 67,000 shares at the end of a trading day. Its average volume is almost 300,000. Neither of those is an impressive number. That would tell me that this is something that the Wall Street boys aren't paying attention to, which means that it's something that I might want to grab before they notice it and drive the price through the roof on it. Just, do not ever take my investment advice. If I were as good as I act like I am, I wouldn't be teaching you here. I'd be having boat drinks off the coast of Cabo San Luca. I'd invite you, obviously. Yeah, just give the shark something to eat. But anyway, enough of that. So I've given you information, 40 questions. Here's four or five of them right here for you. They call me Pizza Hut because I deliver. Let's get off that. Now, I'm going to go over here to the quizzes, and we are going to look at the quizzes. Quiz one, and I'm going to walk you through, because sometimes I'm just lazy. I copy and paste a question, or I copy and paste a question and then change the numbers. So it's worth your while to know what the right answers are and how I get the right answers. Okay, here we go. Quiz one. First question, well, I have read the syllabus, yeah. I had five people said false. Okay, you just gave up the points. Okay, this one's important. Which of the following is a stock exchange? Now, the S&P 500 is nothing but an index of 500 big stocks. That's all it is. It's not an exchange. An exchange is where thousands and thousands of stocks are bought and sold and traded with people yelling at each other and farting and all that kind of stuff. S&P 500 is just a portfolio. So is the Dow 30. So is the Russell 2000. So is the Nikkei 225, the FTSE 100, the Wiltshire 500. What do you notice about indexes? They all have a number. That number is how many different stocks are in the theoretical portfolio. That's your big flag that it's not an exchange. The NASDAQ is an exchange. It's hundreds, tens of thousands, I guess, of little, mostly small cap companies, all traded in an electronic platform. It is an exchange. Let's try a question here. Sir, can you tell me another exchange?
New York Stock Exchange?
Yeah. Your clue is it says exchange. Yeah, that's good. You're good. Yeah, the New York Stock Exchange, that's an exchange. The Amex, the American Stock Exchange, the PhillyX is an exchange. Those are all exchanges. There's not a number after it. It's just a whole pile of companies that are operating under a platform, a trading platform, physical or electronic. And it's the same in other countries, too. Like, for example, there is a London Exchange. The FTSE is 100 stocks from that exchange, but the London Exchange is an exchange. Similar with the Nikkei 225. There is the Tokyo Exchange, but there is also these 225 stocks that sort of represent what happened in the whole market of the Tokyo Exchange. You go around the world, you can find these exchanges all over the world, literally hundreds of exchanges around the world. The Han in China, or is that Hong Kong? Other ones in other countries. So know that. That's how you tell what is an exchange versus what is just an index portfolio. What is not important to financial analysis? Historical cost doesn't mean anything to us. It already happened. We need to know what is happening now and what we expect to happen in the future. The past is gone, so historical costs mean nothing to us. Opportunity costs, oh yeah, we need to know what was the best alternative that was foregone to have what we have. That's why we consider net income to be a cost, because something was given up to make that money. Was what was given up more or less than what was actually made? So if the net income of a company is $10 million, the first thing we ask is, what could it have been if they had made other choices based upon their risk level? Future expected costs, well, yeah, that's what we're all about, is what's going to happen. Same with replacement costs. We don't care what a machine costs. In other words, we actually don't give a rat's ass about what's on that financial statement, that balance sheet, fixed assets. We want to know what it's going to cost when you replace that. Well, we're not going to replace it. Sooner or later, you will, and you're going to pay whatever is the cost to replace it. Whatever you paid for back then doesn't matter at all to us now. So replacement cost is hugely important to us in finance as well. Cash flow is another term for profit? Absolutely not. I showed you all we have to do to get to free cash flow. We have to twist and pull out things and put things in to the profit, to the what's on the financial statements of the accountants, before we get anywhere close to the cash flow, which matters to us. Because we don't care what the numbers and the receipts and all of that were. We care about what cash flow has occurred. If it's negative, we had to fill that in. There was some way that had to be filled in, because it can't just be a negative. See, with profit, it can just be a negative. Whoop, our bad, we got a negative profit. This with free cash flow, no, that's not, you can't do that. That money had to come from somewhere. And if it's got positive free cash flow, then we can say, okay, what can we do with that money? Dividends? Maybe increase our borrowings because we can afford some more interest expense. Maybe we can do new investments with things. That's what matters, cash flow. Now, this is the one I was talking about. You buy a stock at the ask, you sell it at the bid. I will find a way to ask you that on the test. I will, I promise you. Go to quiz two. I will not ask you a capital gains question of more or less than 1 year. The one I ask you will be like on the screen, a single year. The reason is I'm finding that you're having difficulty getting that days between dates and turning it into years. And I don't want that to trip you up on the exam, so I will not ask a question for something that is not exactly 1 year on this exam. So number one, I will not ask you. Number two, you need to know what went on with the Securities Act of 1933 and the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. The Securities Act of 1933, two very important points. One is it created the Securities Exchange Commission to oversee securities laws. And the second thing is that it set the laws of the primary markets. In other words, when companies do their public offerings of stocks or bonds or whatever, these are the laws that control that process. Because before the Securities Act of 1933, it was just a wild west. Liars, cheaters, con men, grifters, you name it, were doing offerings of stock and other exotica. And so the Securities Act of 1933 cracked down on the primary market. It was the Securities Exchange Act of 1934 that extended the crackdown to the secondary market, just buying and selling stocks among traders. And it laid down the laws so that no more lies, cons, and grifts could happen in that sector, which is where most people do their trade. You invest in stocks through the secondary market. So if you don't like regulation, then you might hate the Securities Exchange Act of 1934, which prevented companies from cheating you in your buying and selling of stocks. Okay, so now this one. This one was an ass beater, no doubt about it. This is how I'm going to ask a question or two about ratios. I don't ask you to calculate ratios, but I ask you to show me that you understand how ratios work. First things first, return on assets, ROA, is net income divided by total assets. Now, ROE, return on equity, is net income, but it is divided by only part of the total assets, the shareholders' equity. So obviously, total assets is always going to be bigger than, or at least the same as, equity, because total assets equals debt plus equity. So in other words, ROE is always going to be at least as large as ROA. Always. So now we get to the question that was up there. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Someone should have yelled at me. I got it on mute. I apologize for that. Okay. Look. Okay. A company increases the level of debt in the capital structure. So if the level of debt is going up, that would mean, all other things being equal, the level of equity is going down. Well, if the level of equity is going down, then that would mean that net income over shareholders' equity is going up. That's all there was to it. Now, I could do that with a question like this, or I could even do it with one. Okay, inventory turnover is revenue over inventory. So what happens if a company decides to stop holding so much inventory? Well, then you would say, well, inventory turnover ratio goes up. That's all there is to it. I could ask it like that. That's the kind of ratio analysis question that I would ask you. We can get all the ratios we want from Standard & Poor's Global Net Advantage and all that, all places like that, but that doesn't tell us that we know what those numbers mean. What I'm doing is asking you to show me that you understand why the numbers do what they do. Well, ROE went up. Well, was that because the company began to take on more debt and less equity? If it did, that's risk. Last one. No, I'm not going to ask. This one, I had to give everyone back the credit for this one because it was one of those ones where you're supposed to give more than one right answer. And a lot of students thought that that one answer was all that needed to be marked, and that got students burned. And then VeggieNet seems to have a weird way of scoring this thing anyway. So I'm not going to ask anything like that one, where you have to give more than one right answer to get the question right. So anyway, that's the end of that one. So cruising on down here to quiz three. You know what? I give you an attendance quiz. Are you here? There were 8 people in this class who said no. What? You were here in body, but your spirit was out there in the woods somewhere. What the hell? I tried to give you. Oh, well, anyway. Yeah, laugh if you will, but that was weird. That was just weird. Okay, quiz four. You will have five questions on the exam. They will look like this. Three will be on some kind of a loan, and two will be on some kind of a savings account. You're putting money away for something, okay? They will look like this with different numbers. For God's sake, this is a way to kill off 10 hard points in a matter of just a minute or two. So you crank along through the grinder here. We have a house with a $175,000 30-year fixed-rate mortgage loan with an APR of 5.09%. Apps, Finance, TVM Solver. It's 30 years. Now, the loan payments are monthly, so it's times 12. You put whatever the number of payments is there. I noticed that in the last two, it was weekly, but there were a lot of students who still put a 12 there. It's whatever your payment cycle is. In this case, it's monthly, so it's 12. Drop down, the I percent. 5.09%, was that it? Yeah, 5.09 divided by the 12, because the interest will be recalculated 12 times a year. Now, the present value is going to be the negative $175,000. Now, the rest of it, just make sure that the PMT down there at the bottom is on end. For heaven's sake, make sure of that. Leave everything else alone. And put your cursor on PMT and say alpha solve. $949. And as you can see, I put a little range in there in case you glitched on a number. But all you put down is 949 in the little box, and you're done with it. You move on. That's the first one. Now, the second one is asking you for the balance on the loan after 25 years. So we're going to leave it out here, and we're going to go back, Apps Finance. And we're going to go down to BAL. Now, the calculator still has that information from the first question. So it's going to calculate the balance based on that information that you put in to calculate the first answer. And then you're going to say, come out, BAL. And so you're just going to say it's 25 years times 12 payments per year. So in other words, we want the balance after this many monthly payments have been done. Don't forget to put in the payment, the times 12. And you get about $50,183 remains. And don't forget to put in an absolute value when you key the answer into the box. That's all there is to the question. Now the third one, we grind it out here. What's the effective interest rate? Apps, Finance, go down to EFF. Come out. You tell it the APR, 5.09. You put in a comma, and you tell how many payments there are a year. How many compoundings? If I said semi-annual, you'd put a 2 there. If I said weekly, you'd put a 52 there. If I said daily, you'd put a 365 there. In this case, it's 12 payments a year. And there's your Uncle Bob, 5.21%. And again, as you can see, I give you a little bit of a range there in case you made a little glitch. That, so far, I've given you easily 15 questions on the exam. Maybe different numbers. Well, obviously different numbers. But so now we're going to go down here to these. starting today, which means that it's obviously going to be an annuity due. So apps, finance, you don't forget, TVM Solver, don't forget to put that on begin. So here we go. You are going to put a due down payments on a house. $40 a week. For how long? 7 years. So the end is 7 years times weekly is 52. Drop it down. Now the I percent, it was 2.79% APR. So you're going to divide that. It will be recalculated 52 times every year. So divided by 52. So the N times the I divide. There's no present value. You didn't put in any kicker. Now the payments are $40 each. Now, for God's sake, go down here and change that to begin, because this is starting today. It's an annuity due. Now, come back up here. How much do you have 1 week after your last deposit? That's FV, Alpha, Solve. There's your dinner, $16,083. And these will all be rounded to the nearest dollar. That's all there is to it. Now, the last one says, well, what would your payments have to be if you put in $20,000, if you wanted $20,000? So you put $20,000 in the FV and then go back up and say, find me the payment. PMT, Alpha, Solve, about $50. As you can see, I give you a range in there again. A little bit. That's all there is to it. Yeah, any question? Something has to be negative. I mean, if I don't put a negative there, then watch what would happen. If I don't put the negative there, then it's going to, if I just put the 20,000 there, watch what happens. When I do the payment, it will spit out as negative. See? But one way or the other, the only problem is if you fill in PV, PMT, and FV all as positives, you'll get an error if you ever had a problem that was like that. Okay, that one's that. Now you've got a quiz to take, and then that's all I have for you today. I thank you.